If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
4 Talk Radio News Service, I'm Jeff Holtzman. A spokesman for President Obama today said that the Office of Management and Budget plans on furloughing 480 of its employees.
In addition, EOP leadership has managed our personnel costs in a variety of ways, including hiring slowdowns and delayed backfilling of open positions.
Jay Carney could not say whether any West Wing employees will see their hours cut as a result of sequestration. However, he did reveal that employees are being asked to cut back on their use of taxpayer-funded office supplies like wireless internet cards. Carney was also asked to preview Obama's forthcoming budget. Though he provided few details, he said that the president continues to be willing to reform Social Security benefits as a way to reduce future spending.
That offer remains on the table.
And the National Restaurant Association said today that fewer Americans ate out in February. The group said that higher gasoline prices and the end of the Social Security payroll tax holiday caused the Restaurant Performance Index to fall below 100 that month. Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
Hi there. Welcome aboard. This is Radio Free America for Monday, April Fool's Day. I don't know if I'm going to play any April Fool's jokes on you tonight. I just don't know. I'll decide as I decide. What else can I tell you? In any event, Duke Brooks is my name. This is Radio Free America. It is about 2 minutes after the top of the hour. It is April Fool's Day. This is ConservativeNationRadio.org, real conservatism for real conservatives. Thanks a lot for being along tonight. 718-305-7176 is the number. And, you know, we do have a lot to talk about. A couple of notes at the very beginning. That is tonight at around 8:30. I'm going to be joined. That's about an hour and a half from now. It's about 3 minutes after the top of the hour. And I will be joined tonight by my good friend, Brad Bierman. Now, I know what you're thinking. Yes, in broadcasting, you met somebody 5 minutes ago, and now he's your good friend on the air. No, that's not true. Brad and I have known each other for about 30 years and have been good friends for about 30 years. Shortly after I met Brad, which was around 1982, I think, Brad, a few years later, became the sports director at the radio station where we were both working. That was WSYR in Syracuse, where I had a great gig. Essentially from the fall of 1980 until around Pearl Harbor Day of 1983. It was just a tremendous gig flying the station helicopter and reporting the traffic, but I digress. Brad is a very, very serious sportscaster. He has quite a few internet enterprises underway right now in which he is focused on sports, and he does other technology-related things. But Brad will be joining us tonight, and we're going to talk a little bit about baseball. I'm not the world's biggest sports fan, but I can tell you I am very, very interested in the Orioles. I'm interested in the Orioles. You know, I've loved them my whole life. I don't know anything really about baseball. Here's the April Fool's joke for the day. Well, at least the first one. Did you know that for decades in the summertime, I have been known as Mr. Baseball? Well, no, nobody knew that. That is not true. I'm an Orioles fan, and I am interested in baseball. Brad is an expert on baseball. No question. He will be around along about 8:30. Shortly around 7:15 tonight, we'll be hearing from Kevin Whiteman with the ever-popular weekly Religion of Peace update, where Kevin explains all about those peaceful Islamic Muslims, who I call Mohammedans because, well, you know, when they stop calling me an infidel, I guess I will stop calling them Mohammedans. In the meantime, I really don't care whether they like it or not. That's too bad. We have freedom of religion and freedom of speech in this country. So in any event, because Brad will be joining us at the bottom of the second hour, Common Sense with Kevin Wade will take place in the first hour, along about half an hour from now. So that is how tonight's edition of Radio Free America will be different from other ones that you've heard in the past. But today is opening day, and I really just thought that it was, you know, very, very important that we get something done about our national pastime, which, you know, I have always been aware of it, but I will tell you this. Back around 95, 96, I was speaking with my cousin Jimmy, who is 6 or 8 years older than I, excuse me, and he explained to me and asked me if I remembered when I was about 5 or 6, would have been around 60 or 61, that he had given me a Mickey Mantle rookie baseball card. And I did not remember that. I'm sure that I tossed that card myself a few days after getting it. Had no interest in that. I guess the question is, you know, right now, what is a rookie Mickey Mantle baseball card worth? And I think that they're worth a couple of $100 million, as far as I know. I mean, I could be wrong. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America, at conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. Thanks a lot for being along tonight. So we do have a couple of minor changes, which I just outlined in tonight's show. But my question to you right now is, how about those North Koreans? Huh? Aren't they something? What is up with those guys? What's up with those guys? I mean, I'd love to hear your take on it. Absolutely. 718-305-7176 is the number at Radio Free America, on conservativenationradio.org, real conservatism for real conservatives. I think that the North Koreans are, I mean, you know, listen, it's just during the last couple of days that for the very first time I have heard network pundits describing the top ruling people in that country and in its history as a family. Will someone please just come out and admit that this is a monarchy? There's no actual crown, there's no scepter, there's no throne, but it is a monarchy. That's what it is. The grandfather, Kim Il-sung, had power. Then his son, Kim Jong-il, had power, and that was passed to his son, Kim Un something. You know, Kim is the family name. Very, very, very widely used name in Korea, last name of Kim. I have, you know, I think maybe next Monday, if the Koreans are still going nuts like this, I may have my friend Sylvia Jung, who is a Korean, lives in America. I believe she has become a U.S. citizen. And I think that I may invite her to come on the show and talk about Korea. She's not the most fluent English speaker. that's really about the only thing that would dissuade me from doing that. But she and I will have a few conversations between now and then, I'm sure, because she and I do LED lighting business together. And it's got its ups and downs. You know, it's got its good days and bad, like anything else. 718-305-7176 is the number here. Quite a few interesting things have happened. You may be aware that yesterday President Obama went to church for Easter, which for him must have been, apparently the sermon was strictly a political one by this Reverend Luis Leon, I think his name is, priest at the Episcopal Church, I believe it's called St. John, which is kind of about two blocks away from the White House. American presidents have been going to church there since the days of John Adams, if I'm not mistaken, or James Madison. I mean, so anyway, the priest, during his sermon, comes out with the religious captains of the religious right want everybody to go back. They want blacks to go to the back of the bus. They want gays to go back into the closet. It said they want immigrants to be back in their own country, that sort of stuff. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Every single thing that there is nowadays is politics. It's all politics. Everything. Religion, everything is politics. It's just, you know, it's unbelievable why the president, you know, if the president is going to go to church there, I really think that the White House needs to kind of clear things beforehand with the reverend who is in charge of that church. You know, I really do. I mean, I think that that's completely reasonable, don't you? 12 minutes after the hour, you know, we conservatives always have and always will respect pioneers. And my friend Brenda Ward has been with us on conservativenationradio.org since the very beginning. You know Brenda, right? Michelle Malkin, Ann Coulter, Laura Ingraham, Monica Crowley, you know those ladies. They've got nothing on Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing. It's Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central, and that is the place to hear from real women who are real patriots. So let your voice be heard. Incidentally, you conservative guys are welcome at our very own B&B as well. Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. 718-305-7176 is the number. Duke Brooks is the name. Radio Free America is the show. Thank you very much for being along this evening. We have been chatting amicably, you and I, about the North Koreans. You know, I am not an expert on the Korean War, but I do understand a couple of things about it. I mean, it's one of those situations where after World War II, when the Japanese withdrew from the Korean Peninsula, which they pretty much held, the Russians and the Chinese were propping up a dictator in the northern part of Korea. The U.S. was propping up one in the southern part of Korea, but the fact of the matter is, in South Korea, there were freedoms that simply did not exist in North Korea, and the North Koreans began to just kind of stream across the border into the South. That, of course, really annoyed the dictator up north, so he decided, instead of trying to stop them the way the Germans did, of course, the Germans, slightly different, okay, all right, in any event, in June of 1950, they came across the border, and they were in Seoul in a matter of just a couple of days, from, if I remember correctly, and they pushed within within 2 months, by the end of that summer, by the end of August, they had pushed American forces all the way into a small pocket on the southeastern coast that is called that's where the city of Pusan is, and that was known as the Pusan Perimeter. And they held that until MacArthur arrived from Japan. MacArthur conducted a landing at a place called Incheon, and that was the landing that enabled us to, I don't know if we won that war. I don't think we did. I think that was a draw. You know, 0-1-1, as Xu Tzu said to Sergeant Highway, Gunny Highway, in that Clint Eastwood film, Heartbreak Ridge, 0-1-1. You know, I don't know. Korea, you know, South Korea is wealthy. Make no mistake about it. South Korea is very, very rich. They have plenty of money, and there's no question. Anyway, listen, it is about 16 after the hour, and I am assuming, and I think that this is a fair assumption, I really do, I don't think that there's anything untoward or anything like that about it. If you're listening to me now on conservativenationradio.org, you are probably a conservative. That means that you love America and you love our Constitution just like all of us do here. Now, since that is the case, you are going to need a supply depot to get everything from the best books to bumper stickers, patriotic T-shirts, flags, all that sort of stuff. We've got your pipeline to that good stuff. It's right here at conservativenationradio.org. Just go to our website, conservativenationradio.org, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That's going to take you directly to the world's best-known warehouse for all of your conservative revolution needs. Wave your flag, proudly display your love for America and the conservative revolution starting right now. Just go to conservativenationradio.org, click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution. Real conservatism for real conservatives. 17 after the hour. More of your calls, more on Korea after this. Don't go away.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
You must be your fairy godmother.
In the classic fairy tale, Cinderella's dream comes true because the glass slipper fits.
It fits.
In our world, the right fit can be just as important.
Good heavens, child. You can't go in there.
Especially when it comes to car seats. Always choose a car seat that's the right fit for your child's age and size.
Oh, that does make a difference.
To make sure your little pumpkin gets there safely every time.
Happy to you. Thank you.
Remember, you're responsible for protecting your children. Their happily ever afters are in your hands. For even more information about choosing the right car seat, visit safercar.gov/the right seat. This message has been brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared.
Prevent your child's next asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. Visit www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many. Brought to you by the EPA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
Talking to myself and feeling old. Sometimes I'd like to quit. Nothing ever seems to fit. Hanging around, nothing to do but frown.
Rainy. Hello there, this is conservativenationradio.org. Duke Brooks here. Thanks very much for being along. There was a little bit of rain around here today. I'm coming to you all over the world from coastal Delaware in Sussex County, Delaware. Which reminds me, before we get back to Korea, next Monday is the second Monday of the month, and you regular listeners to Radio Free America know that on the second Monday of each month, the program is normally delayed by 2 hours. I may have a substitute. I may have a friend of mine whose name is Mike Hintz. May ask Mike if he wants to do the show next Saturday. I'm sorry, next Monday at the regular time of 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. Just keep checking back at conservativenationradio.org for updates on that situation. I think it would be better if we were always at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 Central on Monday through Thursday. On Friday, 9 Eastern, 8 Central. And on Saturday and Sunday, 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central time. That's our schedule. And, I would be delighted to entertain your thoughts on it. The number here is 718-305-7176. This is Radio Free America, about 21 minutes after the hour right now. Thanks very much for being along. I wanted we were talking about Korea, and we're talking about Korea because the North Koreans are threatening to go to war. And if they attack South Korea, well, I've got to be honest with you, that is something that we simply cannot have. We just cannot have South Korea attacked. It just cannot happen. It cannot happen. Frankly, there is too much trade between our two countries. Interestingly, the president has, excuse me a moment, please. I'm sorry about that. That was a kind of a Marco Rubio moment, minus the Poland Spring water. But I digress. Now the Obama administration has deployed additional missile interceptors, and I'm presuming that these are what some people call Star Wars systems. Others call the Strategic Defense Initiative, or SDI, which I think I remember so clearly in the late 1980s, an article I read in Newsweek. It had something to do with, I don't know, cell biology or, heart disease or something like that. And at the end of the article, after reading all about something that had nothing whatsoever to do with defense or politics or nukes or anything, at the end of it, the writer wrote something like, so it may be that a foolproof heart valve, like a space-based missile defense system, is not a physical possibility in any way. Just unbelievable editorialization in the middle of something that had absolutely nothing it was just unbelievable. But now the same left that was absolutely opposed to the idea that this country should have any way of knocking down or even maybe knocking down, listen, I'll take it. I mean, okay. If the North Koreans decided that they were going to launch and they were able to send six, and this is years from now, this is like 2 or 3 years from now, maybe at the earliest, would they be able to hit the North American continent other than Alaska? They can hit Alaska, but one day they may have the ability to fire nukes and hit places like New York, Boston, or Washington. It's possible. They are trading with the Iranians quite a bit. And in any event, If they were to go ahead and do that, and they launched 15 or 20 missiles at us, if that SDI system that is deployed in Alaska, if that takes out all but three of the missiles, how many lives were saved? I mean, seriously, the reason the left doesn't like it, they say, is because it is not 100% effective. In other words, in the backs of their minds, there is the idea that it would not be fair if one city was saved by the SDI system and another American city was not. It would not be fair to the ones in the city that was not saved. That is where they are on it. They have been for a long time. It is pretty much amazing the way they think about things. They're from Mars. They're from Mars. There is simply no other way to say it. They are from Mars. 718-305-7176 is the number. You know, the Korean War was something that, I mean, almost everybody of a certain age at least is familiar with the TV show MASH. That was an anti-Vietnam War show that took place in Korea during the Korean War, okay? The Korean War went from June of 1950 to December of 1953, I think. It was June of 1951 it started. It may have ended by December 52. I'm not positive. I'm just not. If you know, or if, God bless you, you were a Korean War veteran, give me a call and straighten me out on it. 718-305-7176. Duke Brooks is my name. It's almost 28 minutes after the top of the hour. This is Radio Free America. General MacArthur, General Douglas MacArthur, a very, very interesting American military figure. Very interesting. I suspect that General MacArthur may have had the biggest ego of anyone who has ever held the rank of General of the Armies in the United States history. I mean, he just, you know, there's no question about it. There is a great book by William Manchester called Imperial. Oh, I forget. It's about MacArthur. Now, one statement about him is true. MacArthur held more absolute and personal power over more people than any other American in history. And MacArthur was the administrator of Japan. He was the occupier of Japan. And he behaved exactly, very interestingly. MacArthur, of course, most of this generation in Japan is now kind of dying, if they're not already gone, unfortunately. But it was well and truly known, at least in from the late 1960s until probably fairly recently, that you could not say a bad word about General MacArthur to a Japanese. They simply didn't want to hear it. General MacArthur occupied Japan for 7 or 8 years. He was called home by General Truman, and I think that General MacArthur, really made some mistakes with President Truman. There's no question about it. And I think that President Truman eventually simply couldn't handle General MacArthur anymore, apart from the political differences that they had, which were pretty wide. Anyway, we are coming up on 30 minutes after the hour. Going to take a quick break. When I come back, more of your calls, Common Sense with Kevin Wade. So stay right where you are.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a goat?
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. So, do you like it? Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
You're gonna fly.
Hi, everyone. This is Reba McEntire for RAD. You know, I see a lot of funny things traveling all over this beautiful country of ours. But one thing that's not very funny is when someone gets in a car trying to drive when they're drunk. Take their keys away from them because friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Duke Brooks on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Radio Free America on ConservativeNationRadio.org. Real conservatives for real conservatives. Duke Brooks here. It's about 31 minutes after the hour. Thank you very much for being along this evening for this April Fool's edition of Radio Free America. We have been talking about Korea because they are the only country that I know of or that I can remember in my life that other than the Soviet Union that has come out and said that they're going to wipe out America with nuclear bombs, okay? You got to take it seriously, though. I mean, seriously, what do you think? 718-305-7176. There's some folks in the chat room now, and I would be delighted to hear from them on 718-305-7176. I mean, if somebody tests nuclear weapons and if somebody tests rockets that can carry them, and at the same time they're saying you can consider yourself to be at war with us, what are you going to do? What are you going to go, oh, 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 never in a million years, oh, 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 oh? I don't think so. I don't think so. I think that the best way to handle North Korea, which is a bully state, there's no question about that. I mean, you know, this is their own people are starving because they are so committed to a Marxist, Leninist, Stalinist, Maoist, communist, socialist ideology. And those systems don't work. The people starve, and the people are starving. There's no question about that. But it's a monarchy. No question about that. Beyond that, the people are starving up there. Their whole thing is the military. I saw an analyst today that said that basically the current dictator's father, the current king's father, former king, made the military number one in his national, plan for his country. The military was the number one thing that they are all about up there. It's a police state, obviously. And beyond that, there's no active fighting between North and South Korea like there was in, 60 years ago in April of 1953. However, it's hardly even a truce. It's not a truce. It's just a ceasefire is all that it is, really. There is no peace treaty between North and South Korea. South Korea is rich. I mean, there's absolutely no question. Absolutely no question about it. South Korea is rich. They have a ton of money. They are extremely productive. They have come up with great ideas. The majority, you know about LED lights, I'm sure, by now. I mean, almost everybody knows about LED lights. And I know all about them. I've been selling them for a while. The best ones are made in Korea. They're made in South Korea. They're not made in North Korea. They're made in South Korea. I don't think North Korea, I'm not really sure what they do with international trade, if they trade with anybody. I think they trade spices or something with the Iranians. I have no idea. But there has been mass famine there. It's a communist country. You know, in capitalism in the South, there is never enough money. In communism, there is never enough food, okay? Because South Korea's capitalist money is valuable. Japan's capitalist money is valuable. Our capitalist money is valuable. It's not quite as valuable now as it was when our dear leader, President Obama, came into office. But nonetheless, it is still valuable. It is still the world's official reserve currency. That's pretty much all there is to it. However, if the North Koreans do attack South Korea, we're going to have to do everything possible to stop it. This is something maybe we ought to chat about. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America. Duke Brooks is my name. This is conservativenationradio.org. And I'm very, very happy that you are along this evening. It is just about 37 minutes after the hour, 23 minutes before the top of the hour. As I mentioned earlier, Common Sense with Kevin Wade, which is normally heard at normally heard around 8:40, well, 40 minutes after the start of the second hour, about 20 minutes before sign-off time. Tonight, we're going to be hearing that in about 5 minutes from now. So stick around. Kevin, of course, always great to hear from him. He was on vacation last week. He's back now. He and I need to talk tomorrow, in fact, about Common Sense with Kevin Wade, which will be done, definitely. In any event, it is 37 minutes after the hour, coming up on 38 after the hour. 718-305-7176. Here's the scenario that I think could possibly develop between the United States and North Korea. And if you've got any military experience or you've ever been to Korea, I have never been to Korea, I would love to hear from you. The number is 718-305-7176. Basically, you know, the North, at this point, they have nuclear weapons. How they got them, at this point, not really sure. For some reason, Bill Clinton comes to mind, but I digress. They've got nukes. There is really nothing that we can do short of an actual attack and probably a nuclear attack upon them to get them to get rid of them. That's just the way they're not going to. And what they've been doing is they've been doing things like saying, okay, we're going to test this nuke if you do not give us food. And so the West all gives them the food. And then the next thing that happens is they go ahead and they test the nuke anyway. All right, they've been doing that, and we really need to stop rewarding bad behavior. We need to say, no, I'm sorry, you have already passed over the red line in the sand, the line in the sand, or the red line, or whatever you want to call it. And now there will be no more aid. As a matter of fact, we're going to blockade you, and we're not even going to allow your ships transit on the high seas until you allow in inspectors who will verify that your nuclear program no longer exists and that your nuclear weapons no longer exist. That is the only thing. Uh-oh, newsflash, it's raining in Lewis, Delaware. That is the only thing that they will understand. And what we would need to do is we would need to say to the Chinese, look, you need to tell them that they've got to play ball. We simply cannot. Don't you realize how much danger it puts you in having nuclear armed, even though a client state of yours, right on your border like that? In any event, if they refuse to do that, well, we have got to do something about it. We simply have to do something about it. I could see the North Koreans being told that there will be no more food aid for them. I can see the North Koreans saying, you know, you better give us food or we're going to go to war. And at the same time they do that, I could imagine seeing their tanks, their mobile artillery, some of their infantry being moved towards the South Korean border. I could see that happening. And, of course, we would know that it was happening within a few minutes of it happening because we've got satellites over Korea. And I guarantee you that they are up at the National Security Agency. They are listening to everything that comes out of North Korea. And I could see something happening near the border, which runs roughly around the 38th parallel. That was established in a small town called Panmunjom in 53, I believe it was. And that is where the actual border between the demilitarized zone border between the two countries is. And we and the South Koreans, who are good guys, we have people on that border looking into North Korea, and the North Koreans have people on their border looking back at us constantly. The North Koreans have kidnapped people and brought them to North Korea. They had submarines that they actually surfaced off the coast of Japan, and they sent people at night onto the beach just to pick up anybody that they could find. And there were a couple of girls that they picked up at one point, and they kept them in North Korea for 8 or 10 years. They never admitted that they had them, but they never denied that they had them. I think eventually they allowed them to communicate some with their parents, and they kept them. They just kept them there to look, quote, learn about the West, unquote. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Anyway, listen, you know, there are some changes going on here at conservativenationradio.org, and it's pretty clear now that the switch is on to conservativenationradio.org. And if you have any doubts, just check out our new Saturday show with internet radio veteran Robert Garding. The New Wise Conservatism Show now comes to you on conservativenationradio.org every Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 Central. After years of hosting the New Wise Conservatism Show, Robert has a big following, so listen Saturday and you'll find out why. Thousands love his brand of New Wise Conservatism, and you will too. The New Wise Conservatism Show with Robert Garding, Saturdays at 4 Eastern, 3 Central, on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. That's what we are. You know, I really can't stand it when somebody in the South or somewhere, you know, or some fundamentalist, who knows, comes out and says things like, they ought to take all damn people and just block them all, you know, whatever it is, and the left immediately labels that person as a conservative. Do you remember the comments about the Missouri, from the Missouri Senate candidate, about rape, legitimate, something like that last year? I could not believe that a grown man would say something. Just unbelievable. Unbelievable. Hey, my outlook on rape, death penalty. Sorry, we've got DNA. My outlook, death penalty. That's all there is to it. That's it. Rape ought to be a capital crime. 16 minutes now, well, almost 15 minutes before the top of the hour. 718-305-7176. There was a book that I read around 1980, and the book was called Third World War, August 1985, by General Sir John Hackett and other top-ranking NATO advisors and generals. And it was a very, very interesting book by a very serious general. And General John Hackett, a British general, had served with the first Airborne, British First Airborne, in World War II in Operation Market Garden. So, I mean, you know the guy was pretty tough. In any event, listen, it's just about quarter of, and I want to bring you this week's edition of Common Sense with Kevin Wade. So stay right where you are. Listen up. Don't go away.
Conservatives acknowledge that our American traditions, culture, laws, and language, in fact, our American way of doing things, has served the interests of our country very well since 1776. Our Constitution does not establish economic rights, only political and civil rights. Despite recent interpretations, the Constitution does not guarantee jobs, housing, food, or medicine to anybody, nor should it. Americans are now, as they always have been, perfectly capable of earning the things they want and need. The promise of America has always been opportunity, not guarantees. Some thoughts on the American way after this.
Dave, what are you doing?
Just sending a gift to Dave 2037.
Who?
Me in the future. I save a little money from every paycheck as a gift to Dave 2037, so he can spend it on things like anti-gravity boots or a hologram Doberman, something cool like that. I think Dave 2037 deserves it. He worked hard. What are you getting Steve 2037?
I guess I was thinking Steve 2037 would just fend for himself.
Well, all right, but don't expect to be borrowing my anti-gravity boots.
You want to have money in your future? You got to start saving now. Putting some money from every paycheck into a savings account or contributing to your 401k can make a big difference later. Put away a few bucks, feel like $1 million. For free ideas and easy ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's feedthepig.org.
Hey, let's just hope Steve 2037 doesn't get his hands on a cool time machine, because he is going to come back here and knock some sense into you.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
President John F. Kennedy remains one of the most beloved Americans in our history. But despite the accomplishments of his presidency, he is best remembered for his inaugural address, in which he said, "Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country." That was right in 1961, and it still is today. That's just common sense. I'm Kevin Wade.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Kevin. And welcome back, by the way, from vacation. Kevin took his family down to Florida, I think, for a break, and they were gone for about a week. Kevin's a very good guy, very solid citizen. He does well, and he loves to fish. He loves to do deep-sea fishing, so I'll be talking to him tomorrow. We'll find out how his vacation was, and then he and I are going to talk about that thing you just heard, which is Common Sense with Kevin Wade. In any event, about 11 and a half minutes before the top of the hour, more of your calls are coming up on Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. Don't go away.
Wow, yeah, since the storm, it's been crazy busy for us. We got all kinds of office desks coming in. Now here's a fancy one right here. It's missing a leg, but that's all right. Whatever. Washers and dryers from a laundromat. Oh, wow, and check this out. Another deep fryer. And I'm not sure what this doohickey is. Yeah, most businesses weren't ready for a storm like that, you know. But our work's really piling up here at Roberts & Son Salvage.
What will become of your business after a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency. And 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now, before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
Nurse, I need you to apply pressure to the head wound until I can get to it.
I'm concerned she's lost too much blood.
Oh, no.
You in the corner, who are you? You're not supposed to be here.
She's my girlfriend, Doctor.
You need to wait out in the waiting room.
Please, Doctor, I want to stay with her.
Look, she's been badly injured. So if you want to do what's best for her, you need to let us do our work.
Please, Doctor, she has to be okay. I didn't mean to do this. I love her.
Wait a second. You were the driver?
Yes, but I didn't mean to. I swear, we went to dinner. I was just buzzed. I only had a few drinks.
Just buzzed? Why didn't you tell us that? In that case, your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great. You want to get out of here?
I can't believe this. Really, Doctor? She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
If you love America, you're among friends here. You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
Yes, indeed. This is Radio Free America. That, of course, is the Electric Light Orchestra from 1981. Here is the news. The album was called Time. And, boy, what a great band. I just loved them. I saw them in concert that year. I had seen them in 77 on the Out of the Blue tour. Then I saw them in 81 on the Time tour. I did not see them in 79 when they had Discovery, which some people who are ELO aficionados like me occasionally refer to that album as disco. Very, because it kind of was. In any event, 718-305-7176 is the number. We've been talking a bit about the North Koreans and what they're doing. You know, I remember clearly when the USS Pueblo was the victim of an international act of piracy sometime in 1968, I think around December of 1968, and the USS Pueblo was in international waters. I say again, in international waters. And the ship was captured by the North Koreans. Lyndon B. Johnson was president. It might have been December of 67. I'm a little fuzzy on that. I guess I could double check it, but if I can figure out a way not to overburden my computer, then that's what I will do. However, the Americans, I think 89 people. It was commanded by a guy named Lieutenant Commander Lloyd Bucher, and they captured all of them. I think maybe one guy was killed. I don't remember exactly, but they kept them there, and the North Koreans still have the USS Pueblo as a museum in their harbor somewhere in North Korea. And I think when that happened, we should have said, okay, we're going in there to get the ship out, get our guys out. If it means war, it means war, but we're not going to have this. Even though we were fighting in Vietnam at the time. It's just my personal view on it. If your view is different, that's fine. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America. Duke Brooks is my name. It's now just about 6 minutes before the top of the hour. And I am a little bit worried about the North Koreans. One of the interesting things that happened during the Korean War, I have been fortunate in my life, and I'm not really sure why this is, but I have met and have known quite a few very, very, very smart people. Don't know why they would ever cross paths with a guy like me, but that it is. And one thing I've noticed about smart people is that smart people very, very often get things right. And when they get things right, they're generally pretty significant things. However, when a smart person gets something wrong, let me tell you, they get it really wrong. And General Douglas MacArthur is, without question, in the category of being a smart person. And General MacArthur got some things wrong during his career, most notably when he commanded the Philippines the day after Pearl Harbor. Almost all of his airplanes got caught on the ground when the Japanese showed up. I'm not really sure how he was able to keep his job after that. I just don't know. But in any event, during the Korean War, his plan was basically, once he landed at Incheon and began, which was a very difficult landing, and it was a landing that was so dependent upon the tides, most people thought that it could not be done. And Pusan is a harbor, and he wanted to basically capture that harbor, and they had to put an awful lot of guys, a whole bunch of Marines, on one of the islands in the harbor for purposes of holding the harbor until the next tide conditions, so that they could then land more guys or something like that. That is basically what he did. Is he was able to get into Incheon, establish the beachhead there, take the harbor, and then begin pouring American troops, fresh American troops. And by now, it is the late fall of 1950, and Korea is extremely cold. And American troops landed at Incheon. They took Seoul, the capital of South Korea, away from the North Koreans, from the commies that held it. And they then linked up with the Pusan group, which basically cut South Korea in half. And North Korean forces that were trapped south of that line, of course, couldn't do anything. They tried to fight out, but they were not able to. And we then began pushing the North Koreans north out of South Korea and back into North Korea. And once we did that, we continued on the ground to push into North Korea. And we captured their capital of Pyongyang at one point. We continued to push north of there, and we got almost to the Chinese border, and that's when the Chinese came in. Now, General MacArthur had discussed his strategy with President Truman. The name of the Manchester book about MacArthur, incidentally, is American Caesar. Finally, I remembered it. Thank goodness. And they were able to push them. The Chinese came in and they pushed the Americans out of North Korea. General MacArthur had told President Truman many times that there was no way that the Chinese were going to invade. It wasn't going to happen. And when they did invade, General MacArthur began openly advocating for the use of nuclear weapons against the Chinese formations. And he had President Truman had MacArthur meet him on Wake Island so that MacArthur could talk to him. Just a very, very, bizarre thing that an American president would travel to meet an American general. Finally, President Truman fired General MacArthur, relieved him of his command. He didn't kick him out of the army, certainly, but he relieved him of his command, and I think the general retired shortly thereafter. He gave a speech in the U.S. Congress after he had been relieved. My parents had a phonograph record of it. Anyway, just before the top of the hour, we are going to take a break here. This is Radio Free America. This is conservativenationradio.org, real conservatism for real conservatives. Stay right where you are. Duke Brooks is my name. More about Korea, more of your calls coming up. So stay tuned. Don't go away.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
Remember when your neighbor found us naked in the car, and the time for meltdown action got us kicked out of the park? Getting frisky in the dark, I gave your eye a poke. I think the dog is also in the bed. Do I smell smoke? You and me, we never give up, you and me. We never give up, you and me. We never give up, you and me. We never ever give up.
On sex. Don't give up on birth control either. There are more methods than you think. Visit Bedsider.org to compare all the choices and put the bogus myths to bed at Bedsider.org.
Boy, we got options tonight.
Brought to you by Bedsider and the Ad Council. Bedsider.org.
My name is Dale Pazinski. I'm 19 years old, and this is how I live United. I've always been kind of a computer geek, and I found a way to use those skills to help the homeless in my community. For people facing hard times, computer skills and a basic resume are so important. It may seem like a small thing, but it makes a huge difference in people's lives. So with United Way, I created a program where I work with the homeless. Together, we go through their whole job history, write a resume, and then save it on their very own USB drive. We provide workbooks and training certificates. I even budgeted for cupcakes so we can celebrate as a class when one of our people gets a job. That's huge. When somebody says, hey man, that job that you helped me apply for, I got it. That's what living United feels like to me. My name is Dale Pazinski. I help people achieve financial independence. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Duke Brooks on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Radio Free America on ConservativeNationRadio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. Welcome to hour number two. Thanks very much for being along. That is the Electric Light Orchestra. Also, with Summer and Lightning, and that is from the third side of the Out of the Blue album. That's called Concerto for a Rainy Day. I just love that stuff. Wonderful. You know, it's almost nostalgic at this point. Well, it is nostalgic, I guess. In any event, 718-305-7176 is the number. Duke Brooks is my name. We've been talking about Korea. Who knows what is up with those guys? I mean, they are, you know, they're saying that they are, there's a state of war between North and South Korea. I just don't know what they think they could possibly hope to accomplish from that. I just don't get it. It simply is... It makes no sense. And one thing that I think people really need to do when looking at foreign affairs is to come to the realization that the other guy might not always act rationally. In fact, the other guy probably won't. The North Koreans are not rational. The Iranians are not rational. The Cubans are not rational. The Taliban is not rational. It is that simple. And until you really understand that, you will be perpetually blindsided. You will always be surprised and shocked. The liberals just don't get this. They never will. Their minds are wired incorrectly, quite obviously. 718-305-7176 is the number. I don't see an awful lot going on in the chat room. There's several people in there. All y'all are at free and complete liberty to call in at any time at 718-305-7176. So I am a little worried about the North Koreans. I am maybe a little less worried about the fact that the press in this country has not owned up to the fact that they were wrong about the Strategic Defense Initiative, the one that President Reagan started in the 1980s. I think I'm kind of still reading the Reagan diaries, edited by, I think, David Brinkley edited them. Not David Brinkley, but the historian Brinkley at Tulane. I read his book called The Great Deluge, which was about Katrina, and it was a great book. But in any event, I think the first mention of the SDI in Reagan's diary comes in 1983 or 84. And they started working on it back then. They probably were working on it before then. And now they have it deployed. Apparently it works. At least it works well enough to save, probably millions upon millions of lives. And that's a good thing. But the media back then, the leftist media, they were so opposed to it. They didn't want it to happen. They said it absolutely is not technologically possible, and it never will be. That was the way they were. That was the rhetoric they were using. I remember it, and I was very much in favor of it, of course, because if the left is against something, it's good, and if they're in favor of something, it's bad. I mean, that's just the way it is. You can always say, if something happens overseas, and there's talk of American forces going in, you can always tell whether it is the right thing for our country or not by the way the left reacts. If they're against it, then it must be a good thing. If they are in favor of it, it's bound to be bad. Mogadishu, I think, was a very good example of that. Remember that? Black Hawk Down? Remember that? Bill Clinton got all the support he wanted from the left to go into Somalia when people were starving there, and I know they were. But some of our guys got killed, and I got to be honest with you, that equation just doesn't balance in my mind. Anyway, 7 minutes after the top of the hour, 718-305-7176. I could see North Korea saying to South Korea, you're either going to have 3,000 tons a day of grain delivered to us starting next week, or rice, or we're going to nuke you. And if you tell anybody we said this, we're going to nuke you then. Yeah, I mean, I could see the North Koreans doing that. And that's a real serious problem. The leader of South Korea, recently elected as a woman, I believe her father was the prime minister of South Korea at one point, or president of South Korea. I do remember, was it Park Chung-hee? I forget. I used to pay such close attention. I still do, but I guess, after 50 years of following this stuff, the names kind of get, I do remember in the 1980s, their president was a guy named Chung Doo-won, I think. If you know for sure, and I'm just floundering here, give me a call and set me straight. 718-305-7176 is the number. This is Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org, real conservatism for real conservatives. On this day in the Civil War is coming up within 8 or 9 minutes, so make sure that you stick around for that. And if you have an opinion on the Korean situation, give me a shout, 718-305-7176. I mean, what if we just went ahead and preemptively nuked them? What if we just did that? I think that President Obama is the kind of guy that even if Korea nuked us first, he would probably want to engage the UN before doing anything to actually defend our country or retaliate against those who have attacked us. That's just what I think he is likely to do. I just think he's that kind of guy, you know. That's it. I don't have any faith or confidence in the guy to go ahead and actually do something that needs to be done unless he is able to have some focus group polling done first. I just don't trust the guy. That's all. I mean, if you have a different outlook, 718-305-7176 is the number. I will be delighted to speak with you about it here on Radio Free America. Are you paying any attention to the so-called Final Four basketball thing? All I know is that Syracuse is in the Final Four. That's all I know. And I'm very glad because I went to Syracuse. And I met Jim Boeheim when I was up there quite a few times. But I was never a basketball fan, so I didn't really, you know, it just was not a particularly big deal to me. But I'm very, very glad that they are in the Brad Bierman will be with us in 15 or 20 minutes. He and I will be talking about baseball. Brad was originally to be with us now. However, he and I spoke shortly before airtime, and he has some major responsibility to a major internet sports website concerning the Final Four. And apparently he was working on reporting a story for them about the Final Four all day today. It would be difficult for me to imagine anyone who is more familiar with the past 35 years of history of Syracuse University basketball than Brad Bierman. When Brad was a kid, I guess from the time he was 7 or 8 years old, he never, ever missed a Princeton University home basketball game. He went to every single game. He is a very serious sports guy. He should be with us in about 20 minutes from now. And if you've got questions about sports, anything about it, you can give Brad a call, which is the same number as if you were giving me a call, which is 718-305-7176. You are at free and complete liberty to call in at any time. Don't worry about it. You know, there are some changes going on at CNR, conservativenationradio.org. In fact, it's pretty clear that the switch is on to conservativenationradio.org. And if you have any doubts, just check out our new Saturday show with internet radio veteran Robert Garding. The New Wise Conservatism Show now comes to you on conservativenationradio.org every Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 Central. After years hosting the New Wise Conservatism Show, Robert has a big following, so listen Saturday and you'll find out why. Thousands love his brand of New Wise Conservatism, and you will too. The New Wise Conservatism Show with Robert Garding, Saturdays at 4 Eastern, 3 Central, on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. Make sure that you listen up and check it out, because I think that you are going to like it a great deal. Anyway, it is about 13 minutes after the hour. This is Radio Free America. Duke Brooks here. Thank you very much for being with us. 718-305-7176 is the number. We've been talking about Korea. We will be talking sports in about 15 minutes. You will enjoy Brad. Brad has a very easy to understand and a very intellectual sort of outlook on sports, and he knows all about it, and I don't know anything about it. You know, I often make the joke to people, I don't know how many home runs there are in a touchdown, and I really don't care. That isn't true. I am well aware that home runs and touchdowns are scores in two completely different sports, polo and badminton. However, I'm just not a sports guy, but Brad, you're going to like it. It's going to be a lot of fun. Make sure that you stick around. It is quarter after the hour, 15 minutes after 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Eastern Daylight Savings Time. You know, I got to be honest with you. At this point, I think Eastern Daylight Savings Time needs to just be made permanent. It's 7 months out of the year that we're now on Daylight Savings Time. I mean, from, you know, it's like Halloween to the Ides of March or something. It's, unbelievably short. And that's the time that we're on standard time. The rest of the year, 7 months or something out of the year, we're on Daylight Savings Time. Why don't we just move everything to Daylight Saving Time and start calling that standard time? Why do we do that? I don't know why. I mean, I suppose it has something to do with Greenwich time, you know, universal Greenwich time, UTC, and obviously the prime, what's known as the prime meridian, passes through Greenwich, England, which is just a tiny little bit east-southeast of London. That is the prime meridian, and all navigation is off of the prime meridian in terms of degrees, east or west, and in terms of the equator, in terms of degrees of latitude, north and south. So there's your navigation lesson for the day. 16 minutes after the hour, more of your calls are coming up on Radio Free America, so don't go away. In fact, while you're here, let me take care of something here. I do want to tell you about, you know, we have some very good companies that we are proud to be associated with. And certainly one of them is the most effective identity security and credit monitoring service there is, which is LifeLock. Now, as you know, LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. There really is nothing that even comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock, go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the LifeLock banner. That's conservativenationradio.org and click on the LifeLock banner. Now then, 17 after, more of your calls are coming up. Don't go away.
Foreclosure is hard on every member of the family, but your family is not alone. If you're struggling with your mortgage, there is help. To learn about the government's Making Home Affordable program, visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE to speak to a HUD-approved housing counselor. It's free of charge. Visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE today. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, NeighborWorks America, and the Ad Council.
Sure, humans can be a little weird at times, but take it from me, I'm a dog. And a person is about the best thing that can happen to a shelter pet. So if you want to learn how you can be that person, get down to your local pet shelter or visit theshelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari.
Yes, indeed. This is Radio Free America. Welcome back. Duke Brooks here, 18 minutes after the hour. I mentioned earlier that we had to kind of move things around a little tiny bit today. We've already heard Common Sense from Kevin Wade, which is a good thing. And as you're aware, we are now 150 years after this. 150 years ago, there was, I mean, it's just very, very interesting. 150 years ago, there was no such thing as antibiotics. There was no such thing as x-rays. There was no such thing as an automobile. There was no such thing as motion pictures. There was no phonograph records. There was no telephone. There were telegraphs and there were trains. There were balloons, but no airplanes. It was a obviously a different time. And 150 years ago, was a Wednesday. April Fool's Day was a Wednesday in 1863. And April 1863 began with minor skirmishes at Chalk Bluff and Clarendon, Arkansas, White River and Carroll County, Missouri, Columbia Pike, Tennessee, and near the mouth of the Broad Run in Loudoun County, Virginia. An engagement occurred at Rodman's Point, North Carolina, lasted until April 5th. Federals scouted from Linden to White River, Missouri. Federal expeditions in Tennessee from Murfreesboro to Lebanon, Carthage, and Liberty, and from Jackson to the Hatchie River lasted until April 8th. Confederate General Longstreet's command was reorganized by the Confederates to create the Department of North Carolina under Major General D.H. Hill, the Department of Richmond under Major General Arnold L.Z., and the Department of Southern Virginia under Major General S.G. French. Union Major General Francis J. Herron superseded Brigadier General John M. Schofield in command of the Federal Army of the Frontier. Well, 150 years ago, I mean, it's 32 days from now, we're going to be talking about the Battle of Chancellorsville. And Chancellorsville is in Virginia. It's kind of south by southwest of Washington. It's west of Fredericksburg, if you're familiar with that area. And in December of 1862, the Union had attacked General Lee at Fredericksburg and had lost under the command of General Burnside. President Lincoln relieved him. He put a guy named Fighting Joe Hooker, in command of the Army of the Potomac. And then General Lee and General Jackson and General Longstreet all attacked the Union at Chancellorsville, and they won. But General Jackson was killed at the Battle of Chancellorsville. That's coming up pretty soon, the anniversary of it, anyway. 22 minutes after the hour, 718-305-7176 is the number. Duke Brooks is my name. This is Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org, real conservatism for real conservatives. Why don't we go ahead and bring Brad Bierman on the air. Brad, good evening, my friend.
Good evening, Duke. How are you?
I'm doing fine, pal. Tell me what is going on with the Final Four. When are those two games?
Those two games are Saturday, this Saturday evening in Atlanta at the Georgia Dome Stadium. And the first game begins at about 6:20. That's between Louisville, the top seed in the overall top seed in the tournament, taking on the Cinderella team, Wichita State, in game one. And game number two, you have to be a proud alum this week, Duke. Syracuse will take on Michigan. That game will begin just before 9 o'clock.
I'm very happy about that, and I'm sure that Orange fans all over the country and all over the world are as well. What do you think the Orange chances are?
Well, I think they're pretty good, but I want to first mention this as proud alums of the school. This is the fifth consecutive decade that Syracuse has made the Final Four, and I think that's pretty impressive for a small private school in upstate New York in the Snow Belt. To at least guarantee one Final Four appearance per decade. And I think if you'd ask many college basketball programs around the country if they would take that record, they would in a heartbeat.
Now, what school has appeared the most in the Final Four over the last 50 years or so?
Well, certainly the great UCLA teams under John Wooden participated throughout the 1960s. Winning 10 consecutive national championships, and he finished
wow.
his career winning in 1975, the Wizard of Woodward, as he was known, the Wizard of Westwood. And John Wooden was just such a legendary figure in leading UCLA to those consecutive championships. In the modern era, it's Duke University with Coach K, Mike Krzyzewski. He's won four national championships, which in the modern era of college basketball, you would have to say is almost equitable to the legendary record of John Wooden's national championships, 11.
Okay, now how about Jim Boeheim, coach of the Syracuse Orange Men? How many has he won?
He's won one national championship. He's appeared in three title games, winning once, as head coach at Syracuse.
Well, that's a pretty good record.
I mean, he's the second all-time winningest coach in Division I basketball history now, behind Duke's Mike Krzyzewski. He surpassed Indiana's Bobby Knight back in December. So it's just amazing. I remember a quote from Jim Boeheim back in 1997, in which he remembered the legendary Adolph Rupp at Kentucky, who was probably the winningest coach before John Wooden back in the late 40s, early 50s. They won a couple of championships, and he was in the championship game right up to the famous game in 1966, made famous in the Glory Road movie with the Texas Western team, the all-African-American team, defeating Kentucky in 1966. But Jim Boeheim once said of Adolph Rupp, he always admired that he had retired with 870-something victories, and Boeheim said, you know, that's averaging 20 wins a year for 40 years plus 78 wins. Who could ever coach that long and win that many games? And now Jim Boeheim himself is sitting at 918 wins.
Well, I hope that they do very well next weekend. Let's put it that way. Now then, speaking of longtime records, you've been to the new Yankee Stadium, right?
Yes, I have.
Did they move the Lou Gehrig statue from old Yankee Stadium to new Yankee Stadium?
They moved the statues into Monument Park at the new Yankee Stadium, which is enclosed in center field.
Does the Lou Gehrig statue still have that ridiculous plaque that says played 2013 consecutive games, a record that will never be broken?
That I can't honestly say for sure.
Okay, well, you know, I'm going, obviously Cal Ripken broke that record, and now it's baseball season. And already, I mean, you know, Boston must be very happy tonight because they beat the Yankees today. And they beat them 8-2. Now, the Orioles don't play until tomorrow, but already the Orioles are in second place, half a game behind, but the Yankees are in the cellar of the AL East. I'm so happy.
Well,
what do you think? What's it going to be like during the first couple of weeks of the season?
Well, I think the American League East is certainly up for grabs, and you know, the injuries, the Yankees have injury problems. The Orioles are going to, I think, pick up from where they were last year and keep going in the right direction. Toronto made many deals in the offseason, acquiring, it seems, half of the New York Mets roster. And Tampa Bay's got a great pitching staff. I mean, they're just a great team. It's a really tough division, and we haven't even talked about the Yankees or Red Sox yet. So I'm with you, Duke. I think it's going to be a wild ride in the American League East, and I certainly think it's up for grabs, no matter the name, the prestige, and the bankroll that the Yankees have for their players' roster.
And they spend more money on some players than entire team payrolls elsewhere in baseball, isn't that right?
Practically. And I know that as this group of aging players, Alex Rodriguez, Derek Jeter, of course, Mariano Rivera already announced his retirement, once they move on, you will see the Steinbrenner sons that run the team now go in a much more fiscally conservative direction than their father did.
How do your San Diego Padres look this year?
Not good today after being drubbed by the New York Mets 11-2.
Yeah, it was not a very, very good game. I wonder how the Orioles are going to do tomorrow against Tampa. And what, speaking of teams from Baltimore being on the road, what is with the Baltimore Ravens, the Super Bowl champions, starting their first game on the road this year?
I don't know why they go against tradition and not allow the Super Bowl champion to have that first home game on the Thursday night. I don't understand it.
Have
there
you heard
anything?
There
was a conflict with the Orioles game, and I know that they were trying to work something out. That's the last I had read about it, but I don't know what all transpired behind the scenes.
What do you think about St. Louis this year?
The Cardinals baseball team?
Yeah.
I think they have a great manager, a young manager who surprised last year, and I think they're always going to be in the hunt year in and year out. They're such a consistent franchise. You know, there was a subject I wanted to bring up in our baseball opening day segment, and that was,
certainly,
don't you think there's got to be a decision made by Major League Baseball? Are we going to play with a designated hitter or are we not? I just think to have two sets of rules does not make sense anymore in this modern era of the sport. It's too dangerous for pitchers in interleague games when they're not used to batting, when they do have to bat, and if they do get on base, have to become base runners. And they can be susceptible to serious injuries, pulled muscles, that sort of thing. And I really think the whole purpose in baseball needs strong pitching, right? You need pitching, and any team needs it to win. And why not just keep protecting the pitchers and just let them pitch? Why do you have to have them get up and, get at bat?
So you would advocate that the National League adopt the designated hitter rule that the American League has had for decades?
Absolutely. I just
okay.
think it's ludicrous, even more so, Duke, because this year, as you know, Houston opened up last night, made its American League debut after 51 seasons in the National League, in the American League West. And actually what happened there was when Jim Crane, the new owner of the Astros, bought the team from Drayton McLean, as part of the negotiations, Major League Baseball basically said to him, you're going to be in the American League West. We need to balance that division with five teams and give the Texas Rangers another team in the Central time zone because the other three teams in the American League West are on the Pacific time zone. And they basically lowered his purchase price of the franchise by about $92 million in exchange for him agreeing to move to the American League West. And so now with interleague play every day of the season, it's even more of a reason why both leagues should have the designated hitter.
There are some people that are serious baseball fans who in the same breath will say they should eliminate the designated hitter rule and remove the nighttime lights from Wrigley Field.
That voice is diminishing rapidly, in my opinion.
Very fine.
Yes.
Very fine. You remember George Roberts up at SYR, don't you?
Yes, former newsman George Roberts.
I asked him one time who his favorite team was, and for some reason, when he said the Cardinals, I was the most unsurprised person in the world. I fully expected him to say that. And I don't know why certain people, very often that have a certain look, will be fans of certain teams. I don't understand that. I don't know. You love the Padres because you were an intern there after college, right?
Yes, during college. I just think it's hard to make generalization statements about people's appearances and who they might root for. But I kind of see what you're saying. George was a gentle, good kind of person, and I think that kind of epitomizes the Cardinal franchise and their fans. Don't forget, for a long time, the westernmost franchise in Major League Baseball, and traditionally on KMOX radio in St. Louis, booming that signal all out on summer nights, listening to the great broadcasters of the era, certainly says a lot about what a Cardinal fan in the Midwest and how it was just part of the fabric of their life. And I think that side of it is maybe what you're alluding to with a newsman like George Roberts, who obviously many of our listeners aren't going to be familiar with. But
no.
But knowing for him as a solid journalist, a veteran person that had been on the beat for a long time, but then away from the job, was a great person to work with.
Oh, absolutely. I remember at one point driving I think I was either driving to Syracuse from Philadelphia during college or driving home in the spring, or one of them. And I was going up and down the AM dial because my car back then only had an AM radio in it. And I picked up what I believe I remember as being a Cardinals game. And I will never forget the way the announcer, the play-by-play guy, called a line drive that was hit, and he described the center fieldman, and he said the guy's name, I forget what it was, he said, he's turning, trotting, running, sprinting, diving, got it! I mean, it, you know, baseball is so perfect for radio. If the guys know what they're doing, if the announcers know what they're doing, they can paint a picture of exactly what is happening that anyone could understand. That's one of the things I love about those two things. Don't you agree?
Totally agree. And isn't it amazing that we're fortunate enough to still have a Vin Scully who is the, again, epitome of what you just described? I mean, how about anybody in their profession still being at the top of their profession in their early 80s, in year number, I'm pretty sure it's 63 or 64 on the job. I mean, it's just, it doesn't even, it defies sensibility, right? Here's a man who's been broadcasting since 1950, was there on the famous called shot heard round the world, Bobby Thompson's hit in 51 playoff game against the, I mean, and he's still broadcasting in 2013. Just think of that statement.
Now, Vin Scully, and, you know, again, forgive me, I'm not that, what team does he call for?
The Dodgers, of course.
Okay.
And doing the season opener today at home against the Giants, a sellout crowd at Chavez Ravine in Los Angeles. And, I mean, 1950 to 2013, just think, who in any profession, I defy you to name a profession, that someone's worked that long?
I don't think that there is such a thing.
Right? I mean, come on.
You know,
and be
I mean,
at the top of the game, top of the profession.
And a major team like the Dodgers, who won the World Series in 1955.
Correct.
Under
Brooklyn
Duke
Dodgers,
Snyder.
Correct.
Under
and
Duke
Vin Scully
Snyder,
was
right?
calling those games.
Very interesting. Wow. Wow. Very interesting.
Good
for him. Good for him. I'm glad he's still with us. Brad, thanks so much for being with me tonight, pal.
Love talking baseball, especially on opening day. Duke, all the best.
All right, buddy. See you soon. Have a great night. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you now. Bye-bye.
All right. Brad Bierman there with some thoughts on the NCAA and on baseball. Brad is a sports intellectual. No question about it. He's the kind of guy that... I think Brad has the major league statistics of every professional baseball player since about the end of the Civil War memorized. It's unbelievable. Anyway, we are about 22 minutes until the top of the hour. More comments and your calls coming up. Don't go away.
Million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
Are you tired of your hard-earned money going to support liberal and progressive enterprises? I know I am. That's why I shop at thethirdlantern.com. This conservative marketplace ensures that your money is well spent and supports conservative entrepreneurs dedicated to making their products here in America. Look, I'm a business owner. I know how hard it can be to get your product out there. Get on his vendors list, and it will help your sales. I have had his barbecue sauce. It is amazing. Check out the website, thethirdlantern.com. That's the number three, R-D, lantern.com. Send your liberal friends there and tell them Hig and Resch sent you. Thethirdlantern.com. Put your money where your ideology is.
A boy born in Joplin, Missouri was fascinated by anything with wheels and a motor. The odds of him going on to fascinate millions with his talent? 1 in 260,000. The odds of this born racer having 157 career top 10 finishes in NASCAR? 1 in 125 billion. But every driver seeks the pinnacle of their achievements. The odds of him winning both the Daytona 500 and the Brickyard 400 in the same year? 1 in 195 million. The odds of a child being diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I'm NASCAR driver Jamie McMurray, and my niece has autism. Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change? You're listening to Duke Brooks on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
This is Steve. Welcome back. This is Radio Free America. This is ConservativeNationRadio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. Duke Brooks is my name. My number is 718-305-7176. Give me a jingle. We can talk about the North Koreans. What would happen? I mean, I'm extremely interested in what would happen if war actually, if the North Koreans actually did something. What exactly would it be? And it, you know, how would it develop? What would take place? What would they do? What would be their reason? What would they say publicly? And what will Korea look like when it is reunited after the U.S. and the South win and North Korea no longer exists? What, you know, what about that? 718-305-7176 is the number. This is Radio Free America. Thanks very much for being along tonight. It is April Fool's Day. Let me go over and take a look at the news. Oh, no, not again. Her Majesty now arrested for the third time trying to score rock outside of Buckingham Palace. Okay. I remember the first couple of times that that happened. She ought to just send somebody out to get it instead of, you know, going out herself. Dressed up like Lil' Kim or something, you know. Here's something interesting. Obviously, Hillary Clinton, thankfully, is no longer the Secretary of State. Thankfully, she is no longer a U.S. Senator. She used to be against same-sex marriage. Now she's in favor of it. But obviously, she is getting ready to run for president, which would be an absolute disaster. And apparently they have found some secret documents in Hillary Rodham Clinton's Whitewater file. And when she becomes president, apparently she plans to nominate Lorena Bobbitt to be Surgeon General of the United States. I do not want her to be president. Do you? I mean, seriously? How on earth would anybody want her to be the president of the United States? Well, maybe her husband and her daughter, you know? Too unpredictable. The liberals are just too unpredictable. Hey, we conservatives like things to be predictable, dependable, and reliable. And like the true anchors that they are, my buddies Mike Smith and Bing Fisher still roll out Soldiers of Patriotism Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central, right here on ConservativeNationRadio.org. Hey, it wouldn't be ConservativeNationRadio.org without Michael B. and Uncle Bing, would it? So don't miss our signature show, Soldiers of Patriotism, Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central, on ConservativeNationRadio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. That is, in fact, what we are. You know, I can't, I mentioned earlier, I can't stand it when somebody makes some kind of a stupid, ridiculous statement and the left immediately says they're conservative. You know, somebody, I mean, the Ku Klux Klan, those guys are not conservatives. They're not conservatives. Come on. You know, there's only two kinds of people that look at every single human interaction in terms of the race of the people involved, and those are skinheads and liberals. I mean, seriously. 45 minutes after the hour now, it's about, well, it's about 14 and a half before the top of the hour. Finally back on time. That's a good thing. This is Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org, Real Conservatism for Real Conservatives. More of your calls, more commentary and bloviation straight ahead, so don't go away.
Dave, what are you doing?
Just sending a gift to Dave2037.
Who?
Me in the future. I save a little money from every paycheck as a gift to Dave2037, so he can spend it on things like anti-gravity boots or a hologram Doberman, something cool like that. I think Dave2037 deserves it. He worked hard. What are you getting Steve2037?
I guess I was thinking Steve2037 would just fend for himself.
Well, all right. But don't expect to be borrowing my anti-gravity boots.
You want to have money in your future? You got to start saving now. Putting some money from every paycheck into a savings account or contributing to your 401k can make a big difference later. Put away a few bucks, feel like $1 million. For free ideas and easy ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's feedthepig.org.
Hey, let's just hope Steve2037 doesn't get his hands on a cool time machine, because he is going to come back here and knock some sense into you.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
All right, class. Let's hear what everyone did this weekend. Jill?
Well, I raised my older sister to a big oak tree. It was at least 100 years old. My mom said I must have set a record or something. And then we went down by a stream and perched up on this huge rock and saw all of these little minnows swimming around way below us. And then I rescued my little brother from an evil slug king who was guarding him in the bush fortress. And my sister and I brought him back to our super twig fort for safety. And then we all laid out and told stories until it got dark. And the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Wow.
Where were you, Jill?
Yeah.
We went to the forest. It's not that far away. Anyone want to come this weekend?
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week and find the fun, adventurous you. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
Thank you, David. This is Radio Free America. This is conservativenationradio.org, Real Conservatism for Real Conservatives. Duke Brooks here. 718-305-7176 is the number if you want to join in the celebration of opening day or something. I just hope that the Orioles win tomorrow. That's the extent of, and of course, I hope that the Yankees lose every game. I hope they lose every game. I remember back in 1989, I think it was, the Orioles lost 20 games in a row at the very beginning of the year. And I just, you know, that's what I hope for the Yankees. Now, a lot of people will say, how can you say that you're from Manhattan? You were born and raised in New York City, and you're from Manhattan. What on earth are you doing saying that sort of thing about the Yankees? I'll be honest with you, I don't like them. I didn't like them when I was a kid. I don't like them now. I never have, and I never will. In fact, well, enough said about that. 718-305-7176. I don't particularly like the Red Sox that much either. However, I am delighted when they or anybody else beats the Yankees. I'm delighted when the Orioles win any game. Last year, the Orioles had a lot of games that they won by one run. In fact, I think that they actually have or established a record for games that were won by, you know, one run or less in a single season. If you know better than I do, and you very well may, the number here is 718-305-7176. And I will be happy to discuss your opinion on sports teams with you or your opinion on anything else. You know, I hope that next week, I wonder what next week, next Monday, I will let you know whether I will be here at 9 p.m. or whether I will have somebody like Mike Hintz, who is the top guy in the Tea Party movement in Wisconsin, by the way, whether I will ask him to fill in for me. But we will, we'll see. You know, we'll see. We've got some time. Barbara Buffing and Brenda Ward will be on the air tomorrow night with Women Patriots, as I mentioned earlier today. And I do hope that you will check out our new Saturday show, The New Wise Conservatism with Robert Garding. I think Robert, you know, definitely knows what he's talking about. I think that you will like it a great deal. And I hope that you will listen in Saturdays at 4 Eastern, 3 Central Time for The New Wise Conservatism show with Robert Garding. And I hope that you will be listening tomorrow night with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing. Barbara, good evening, my friend.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm good.
What do you and Brenda have lined up for us tomorrow?
Well, outside of some regular news, whatever happens tomorrow, we'll talk about that. And we also are going to have a special guest, Colin Flannery. He is an author. His latest book is White Girl Bleed a Lot, and it's about the return of race riots to America. And
is it a novel?
It's a book, yeah.
Well, but is it a novel or is it nonfiction?
It's I'll tell you in a minute. It's just out. The first and only book to document the recent epidemic of black mob violence.
So it sounds like it's nonfiction.
Yeah. Hundreds of examples in more than 75 cities, all since 2010. And, of course, you know, the media does not report it. So,
no.
You know, so nobody out there in the world, except for us in our little world, we know about
yeah.
it. And these people that we go and tell about it, they think we're lying, and you know they don't get face the facts because the mainstream media definitely covers it all up. And you know I'm real tired of it. So
yeah,
I'm sure we'll be talking a lot about that mainstream media that gets me crazy.
They are, you know, a lot of people, I know a lot of people that are liberals, Barbara, and I'm sure that you do too.
I work with them all day long.
Yeah, I know, right. Whenever I mention to any of my liberal friends that the left controls the media, they, of course, immediately begin going down the exaggeration trail, and their response is almost invariably, oh, yeah, it's a big conspiracy, right, Duke? Yeah, you call anybody you don't like a commie. Yeah, it's a big conspiracy, right? Well, it's not a conspiracy, because a conspiracy is a collusion and a consultation and a measure to mature a criminal purpose. This is just like-minded people exercising the well-known theorem that birds of a feather flock together. So what are you going to do, you know?
And it's sad because they're misinforming the public, and that's what's going to get the United States invaded.
You're probably right about that. You know, as Mark Twain once said, if you don't read the newspapers, you are uninformed. If you do read the newspapers, you are misinformed.
There
and
you
I
go.
Think he's, you know, I think he's right about that. Barbara,
absolutely.
I sure look forward to the show tomorrow night. You and Brenda always do a bang-up job. Thanks so much for calling in.
All right. Thank you.
Have a great night now. All righty. That is Women Patriots tomorrow night right here on radio on conservativenationradio.org, Real Conservatism for Real Conservatives. This is Radio Free America. Duke Brooks is my name. 718-305-7176. Is the number. About 4 minutes left. Now, I'm gonna tell you, I think I did very well tonight, not pulling any April Fools on anybody. Actually, I did. I did two little ones, and you probably figured out what those were. I had a huge beard until about 12 hours ago. And when my girlfriend Linda gets home, it's all gone. It's all gone now. It's all gone. Anyway, I wanted to mention, you know, do you have a hobby? I hope you do. I think everybody needs a hobby. I have met quite a few men who, and even some women who, I say to them, do you have a hobby? And their answer is normally, yeah, my hobby is my job. You know, my job is my hobby. And I've got to be honest with you, I kind of feel sorry for people who are like that. It just, you know, there is so much more to life, and work is extremely important. I mean, after all, first things first, no question about that. But I think a person needs a hobby, and I have a hobby. I've got a couple of them. I love to write. I've written a couple of novels. Getting an agent, however, is a that's hard. Doesn't really matter how good your stuff is, because they just send you an automatic form letter email reply that says, we're not looking at any new authors right now. So they won't even read my stuff, but they're not interested. It's really kind of bad. That's one hobby that I have. Another one that I've been doing since I was 5 is building scale models out of plastic kits. You know, the kind I'm talking about, Monogram, Revell, you know, Aurora, AMT. Those different companies have been making plastic models, Lindbergh, Renwall, for a long, long time. And I've been building them since I was 5. It's been like, you know, 52 years I've been building models. And I enjoy it so much. It is so relaxing. It is a good thing. I believe it's therapeutic. You know, do I need therapy? Hey, maybe I do. I don't know. But it is something that it is a good thing. It's I guess I just believe it's a very good thing to keep a person for a person to keep their own mind occupied pretty much all the time, but not always with the same things. I mean, it's very, very important to be able to kind of focus on something else. And for me, that is plastic models. I build airplanes, helicopters, ships. Right now, I'm building a model of the Bell 47 helicopter, the kind you see on MASH at the beginning, and it's an awful lot of fun, and I enjoy it a great deal. I'm too much of a perfectionist, though. Even my girlfriend, Linda, will point out something, and I'll say, look at that, see where I made a mistake, and she will often look at me with this look sort of like, you've got to be kidding. Anyway, that'll do it for tonight. Thanks a lot for being along. Don't forget, next Monday, same time, same place.